Friday. It's good to be at Alabama Revival Conference. Thankful for the presence of the Lord that's here. And there'd be no sense to have a conference if Jesus didn't show up. But I feel him in this house, don't you? Amen. I feel him in this house. I felt him when I walked in here this evening. Miracles are in this sanctuary tonight. Supernatural workings of the Holy Ghost is in here tonight. You just got to make up your mind, I'm not leaving without it. I've come with my mind made up, my heart fixed. I'm going to get what God's got for me to get tonight. Hallelujah. I got a feeling here. Woo! Oh! Oh! You know, I don't have any problem with the past history of the apostolic movement. I thank God for it. But I'm going to tell you, we've too long showcased what went on in the past. And our talking about the past has drowned out the dreams of today and tomorrow. I say in Alabama Revival Conference that we make up our minds that we're going to have some history starting tonight. There's going to be miracles happening tonight. There's going to be healings happening tonight. There's going to be deliverances happening tonight. There's going to be people set free tonight. Set free from bitterness. Set free from depression. Set free from jealousy. Set free from fear. Come on. It's Holy Ghost time in here. Woo! It's the will of God for us to leave here showcasing what he did for us this week. Oh. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to Jesus tonight. Thank you for what he's doing. Thank you for his presence that we feel here tonight already. Well, praise God. I like what I feel. Amen. I like what I feel. Amen. There's people that have come here tonight to have church. Amen. We're not going to waste time and just patty cake. We're going to have church tonight. We're going to have devil stomping church. Amen. We're going to have Holy Ghost throwdown church. Hallelujah. People walked in here tonight loaded down and burdened down, but I'm going to tell you in the Holy Ghost, before we walk out and they shut the lights out in this building tonight, you're going to walk out free as a bird, set free from the bondage that's tormented you and troubled you, messed with your mind, messed with your heart, messed with your emotions. Amen. I thank the steering committee for asking me to come. Amen. It is a great honor to be here. Thank you very much. And I'm thankful that Jesus is here, because I wouldn't even want to try to preach if he wasn't. If he just breathe on us for the next little while, we'll leave here changed and transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you've got your Bibles, pick up your Bibles. Let's go to the Word of the Lord. I want to go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 5. So good to see some old friends. Amen. I walked into the hotel lobby tonight, and I saw one of my partners in crime from Bible college, Brother Derek Sherrill. Amen. That's a subject for another night. But I was glad to see him. And then Brother Clickety-clack. Amen. Glad to see him tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter number 5. Beginning at verse number 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said unto thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7.5 years. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither. David comes to the city of Jerusalem, or the city of Jebus. And the Jebusites, like the enemy always does, mocked, laughed, ridiculed. Said blind folks and crippled folks could keep you out of here. The Bible said that they didn't think that David could come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. They sang about taking the city tonight. David took the city. And David said unto them on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter, smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort, called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. David went on and grew great. The Lord God of hosts was with him. I want to preach tonight for a little while on it's time to take back the high place. It's time to take back the strong place. Jesus, I'm asking you to anoint me tonight from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I pray you'd fill this sanctuary with your presence and power. I bind every spirit of the enemy loose the power of the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Have your way. Breathe on us, God. Anoint me. Help me to speak the words that you'd place in my heart and mouth. In Jesus' name, let us put the devil to flight in this service tonight. God will be quick to praise you and give you glory. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Clap your hands one more time. Give him some high praise. According to our scripture text tonight, David was king for 40 years. To give you a little bit of history, at the beginning of his reign, you noticed in our text that the Bible said that David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. He reigned in Hebron over Judah for 7 years and 6 months. Then the Bible tells us that he reigned in Jerusalem over Israel and Judah for 33 years. Those of you that don't know, when King Saul died, Israel was split. And you had Israel, the northern kingdom, and then you had Judah, the southern kingdom. And Judah, when Saul was passed from this life, named David king, but the northern tribes of Israel made Saul's son Ish-bosheth king. And for 7.5 years, Ish-bosheth reigned over Israel. But now we get to our textual setting tonight. We find where that Israel came together, and they have come to Hebron, the capital city of Judah. They have begun to plead their case with David to try to coerce him and to get him to agree to unite the kingdoms together again and be king over Israel and Judah. The Bible lets us know that it did indeed take place. When David became king over the United Kingdom, he was concerned that there may be a little problem that would arise if they kept their capital city in Hebron, which was where his capital was when he was king over Judah only. So David said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're not going to headquarters here in Hebron, but we're going to go down to Jerusalem. We're going to go down to the city of Jebus. And we're going to make that our headquarters. It was a good idea. There was only one problem. The inhabitants of Jerusalem, the Jebusites, weren't at all ready and didn't have any intentions on turning loose the city of Jerusalem. And so though it seemed like a good idea, as they began to look around, they began to survey the landscape of Jerusalem, they began to understand that barring a miracle from God, that there would be no way possible that they could take the city of Jebus. Because they tell us that there was a wall that surrounded the city of Jebus, and the city of Jebus was built up on a high hill and it overlooked everything. And when other people had tried to come and overtake the city, the Jebusites were at ease and able to drive the enemy away. Now, let me say this tonight. Several years before this, the Jebusites had been conquered by Joshua, and the city of Jebus had been captured. However, the children of Judah did not occupy the city of Jebus. All they did was burn it down, set it on fire. And because they did not occupy it, in a very short period of time, the old inhabitants of Jebus repeopled there and maintained their independence. And I want to tell somebody in this service tonight, when you get victory in your life, when God gives you victory in areas of your life, it's not enough to jump up and down on Sunday and say, I thank God for the victory. But you've got to learn to live in your victory. You've got to learn to inhabit your victory. There's got to be something inside of you that said, I'm not just going to celebrate it. I'm going to walk in victory. I'm not going to allow that old devil to come back and take up residence. When you get the victory, you've got to inhabit victory. Because when God gives you victory and you don't take possession of it, the old devil, the old inhabitants always will come back. Matter of fact, when God gives you victory and you shout and burn it down on Sunday, but you don't erect a place to live on Monday, the old devil is going to come back, but he's going to come back with a vengeance. My Bible tells me in Luke chapter 11 that when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through the dry places seeking rest. That unclean spirit doesn't find any. Bible said that that unclean spirit saith, I will return unto my house which I came out. And when that unclean spirit cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then that devil goes out and he finds seven other spirits more wicked and vile than himself. And they enter in. And they dwell there. The Bible said the last state of that man is worse than the first. Hang on, I'm going to get where I'm going in a second. But when God gives you victory, It's not enough to get it at Alabama Revival Conference. It's not enough to shout and boogie and boot scoot at Alabama Revival Conference. There's got to be, my God, there's got to be something inside of you that said, I'm going to build a house here. I'm going to build a structure here. I'm going to live right here. I'm tired of the devil trampling me underfoot. I'm tired of what he's been tormenting my mind with. I'm going to build it here. I'm going to live right here. Woo! So though the children of Judah, one time, many years before, had taken Jebus, because they did not inhabit it, the old inhabitants of Jebus came back, repeopled there, refortified there, and they made the city of Jerusalem even more barricaded than it was before. Somebody said, well, God gave me victory over such and such. If you don't live there, that devil's going to come back, and it's going to be tougher for you to get the victory the next time. You get to struggling with things and God gives you victory, and you don't stand up and you don't possess that land and you just burn it with a shout. Amen. I'm going to tell you that devil don't mind if you shout just as long as you don't take the high place. The devil don't mind if you get a little victory just as long as you don't take the high place. And if all you do is shout a little bit and say that's good enough, he's going to come back and he's going to make it tougher for you to get delivered the next time. That's why people have such a hard time with pornography. Because they get a little victory on Sunday. And they feel a little tingle on Sunday. And they think, my God has touched me. Everything's all right. But when you don't live, that old spirit of pornography comes back and knocks on that door. And if he can get his way in, he's coming in, but he's coming in with a boatload of other spirits. You say, Brother Smith, how do you know? Because I pastor a church and I have to deal with people. Talking about good people, Brother Sutton, they mess up, and if they're not careful, God gives them victory and they don't live there. They don't take the high place. History tells us that city of Jebus was an area that was controlled by a fort on top. And the only way for the children of David or children of God and for David to have victory, they had to somehow find a way to get up. They had to somehow find a way to take the stronghold or to take the high place. Because if they didn't take the high place, they would always succumb to the attacks of the Jebusites. Somebody said, well, Brother Smith, it's not really that big of a problem in my life. Let me tell you, amen, it might be just something small in your life, but if it has position over you, it's a stronghold in your life. If it's above you, it's a stronghold in your life. You've got to get it off of you. You've got to climb above it. You, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. You've got to climb up over it and say, no, you're not going to have dominion. You're not going to have victory. You're not going to have power. You're not going to have influence. I'm climbing up. If it's the last thing I do, you won't have victory in my life. You know, we mistake it sometimes. We get to a meeting and we shout and we think, there, we're good. Tell you, the devil don't mind you getting a little victory. He don't mind you getting a little victory at Alabama Revival Conference just as long as he continues to control the high place. Just as long as he's above you, he'll let you shout. He'll let you run. He'll let you dance. Because he knows I'm still the king of the hill. I'm still the king of the mountain. Because I control the high place. Too many people's reveling a little victory. By the time next week comes around, to get their hand up over their head to worship God. They shout on Sunday night because they got a bunch of people around them. And they're getting a spillover blessing from somebody. But come Tuesday or Wednesday, they're back in the same old problems. They're fighting the same old devils. They're living in the same old ruts. Amen. They're fighting depression. They're fighting anger. And you know why? Because they got just a little shallow victory. But they didn't take the high place. There was a fortification where the enemy said, shout all you want to on Sunday, just as long as you don't try to climb up here. Shout all you want to at Alabama Revival Conference, just as long as you don't try to get to the top of the mountain. Just as long as it's shallow, it'll be all right. Just as long as all you're doing is doing a little two-step. Be all right, but when you start digging in and you start climbing places you hadn't climbed before, you ever wondered why the devil opens up the floodgates when you start praying? You ever wondered why the devil kicks you in the teeth when you start consecrating? Because he knows if he don't stop you, you going to get up to Jebus. My God, I feel something in here tonight. And if you ever get to Jebus, you're going to live in perpetual victory. You're going to live in continual dominion over the devil. And so when you start buckling down and you start praying, you're going to get ugly. You're going to get mean. Your car's going to break down. Your family's going to give you fits. Your boss is going to be full of the devil. Well, the devil said, I can't let them get to the top. It's all right for them to shout, but I can't let them get to the top of the hill. I can't let them get to the top of Jebus. Listen, the only way you can have continual victory in your life is if you take the high ground. I've come to preach to some people in this place tonight. You're clapping. Amen. And you've been singing with the singers and you've been tapping your feet. But I'm going to tell you on the inside, you know this old preacher's walking down where you live. And he's stepping on your doorstep because there's some high places that have been troubling you. And you've been wondering, why can't I get free? I'm going to tell you why tonight. Because you're going to call up that city of Jebus and take the high place. Got to take the high place if you're going to get victory. That's why Paul said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The only way you can have victory and stay in victory is you've got to cast down things that try to exalt itself above God. You've got to cast down things that have taken up residence in your life. You've got to cast down some things, amen, that have taken dominion over you. Amen. There's some of you in here tonight. You need God to help you so bad because you can't figure out what your problem is. What's the matter? There's a stronghold in your life, and you've got to get it down. You've got to cast it down. You've got to climb up. Some of you, your mind is a high place. You can only go so far in your walk with God because of things that happened yesterday. And you just get so far and that old devil hits that high place and just drops a rock down on you and knocks you right back down the mountain. Because of hurts and things that have gone on in your past, you look good, but you end up with bitterness. And it's affecting every area and relationship in your life. You can't get along with people because there's a high place that you hadn't tore down because of what daddy did or because of what mama did or because of how somebody disappointed you. Hey, well, a preacher did this. Let me tell you something. You need to get your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and finisher of your faith. You can't worry about what somebody else did. You've got to win this war. You've got to get the victory. You've got to take the city of Zebulun. That old spirit of bitterness said, I ain't going to let nobody in. I'm not going to trust anybody. I'm not going to trust the man of God because another man of God burned me. Let me tell you, you better learn to trust the man of God in your life because you can't be saved without one. You've got to have a pastor. You've got to have a preacher. And it's a trick of the devil to get up in Jebus and drop that rock down and knock you down the mountain because somebody hurts your feelings. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost stirring in this house tonight. The Holy Ghost is talking to some people right now. Hey, man, you got to turn loose of some things. You got to get some climbing shoes on. You got to say, I'm going up. I'm climbing to the top. That old spirit of fear. Some of you are dominated by fear. Fear keeps you from doing anything. Fear keeps you from really digging in because you're afraid of what's going to happen. Fear binds people from doing the will of God. Brother Wilbanks, I'll never forget the day. I was a young pastor. I'll never forget the day I got a phone call and an older gentleman in our church said, I need to talk to you. I knew by his tone it wasn't pretty. He came in with his wife, pulled his keys for the church out of his pocket, throwed them on my desk and said, you're not anointed. You ain't never been anointed and I'm leaving. When he got done letting me have it and telling me how the cow ate the cabbage and he left, I started crying. I had never been talked to like that. And then that old devil, that old spirit of fear, tried to drop a rock on me from Jebus and say, you know, that was one of your tithe payers. And you know, I hadn't been in it too long, and so I was a little bit nervous. And so I was crying, my face was numb, my shirt was soaked. I was just a mess. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there worried about this man that has walked out and worried about his income. And I thought, you know what? Get a hold of yourself. And I'm not diminishing anything. But when I started running figures in my head, and we got a building to seat 1,200 folks, and when I started running figures in my head, and I said, you know what? If $3,000 a year is going to sink this church, you better start crying. I got up. I washed my face. I called my wife. I said, baby, get ready. We're going to eat tonight. That was on Wednesday. So help me God. The devil was trying to put fear in me as a young pastor to stop me from doing what God wanted me to do. So help me God, on Wednesday, he walks out, throws his keys on my desk, walks out with his $3,000 in offerings and tithes for the year. And on Sunday night, a man walked into my church that hasn't never come back. And when it was time for the offering, he walked around with a brown lunch sack. And I watched him. He set it in the offering plate when he did the usher. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, my secretary said, my God, Pastor, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe how much money that man put in the offering last night. I said, tell me. She said he put $36,000 cash. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, you don't worry about building this. He said, this is my church. And I can give you more income in one service from somebody that don't even come here. It would have took that man 12 years to put what that one man walked in one night. God said, you got to conquer Jebus. Don't, Pastor, never let fear get on you. Don't never let fear get dominion over you. It's God's house. It's God's church. It's God's people. You be strong. You stand tall. I'm telling you, somebody needs to climb up to Jebus tonight and say, I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. Too many times, people get a little release. They don't never get down to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is where the high place is. And you tell me how you can have victory when you got somebody standing over you, wait for you to make a little progress, only to kick you back down the hill. You can't have victory like that. And David knew we can't have victory like that. David understood him, and I've got to get that city, because we can never have victory in Israel until we conquer the city of Jebus, until I can take the name of Jebus off the wall and put the name of David on the wall. As long as Jebus is there, Brother Ellis, I can't have victory. But when I can put David there, and then when I can put David there, it's my city, it's my victory. Let me tell somebody tonight, there's some things you need to tear, names you need to tear off the walls in your life. Depression, get rid of it and place it with joy. Amen. Fear, get rid of it and place it with peace. Jebus, you're coming down in Jesus' name tonight. I'm coming after you, devil. I'm coming after you. I'm going to expose you for the lying thief you are. Jebus, no more. Gone. We're going to call this the city of David. You know why? Because what you conquer, you can name. Amen. What you conquer, you can name it. Amen. You can name your victories when you conquer it. It might have said depression before, but when you conquer it, you can say it ain't depression anymore. It's peace.
God, do you feel what I feel in here tonight? We climbing up Jebus. We climbing up the mountain. We going to take it back. Woo! It's not the will of God for you to get victory Sunday and be defeated Tuesday. God doesn't get any victory and testimony out of that. You might as well stay in the dumps. Because you're not giving God one bit of a testimony. All you're saying is, I'm so unstable, I can't believe it. I'm so unstable, I can't keep the victory. I just didn't feel like coming to church. Now, guess what? There's a lot of times I don't feel like coming to church. Now, these folks up here don't feel like that. But there's a lot of times when I'm driving to church, I'd rather say, oh, God, I know I'm going to face devils. And Brother Wilbur, I said, oh, but I pull in there and I pull my war boots on and I say, devil, we're going to conquer you today. We're going to take back the city of Jebus today. We're going to take back Ziklag today. There's sometimes you just got to suck it up. You just got a man. Because until you kick him out of the high place, he's always going to have the upper hand. Until you evict him from the high place. Give me that chair. Standing up there, I'd get on the pulpit, but I might offend some of you. But he's standing up there looking down and just mocking and ridiculing and making fun and saying, you can't get up here. We could put blind folks on the wall. We could put crippled folks on the wall, and you couldn't get up here. And he talks you out of trying. There'll be something inside of you that gets mad. You got to get tore down. You just got to get filled up with that foolishness. Say, I'm going to come up there by hook or by crook. You ain't going to have dominion in my life forever. You're not going to have victory in my life forever. Let me tell you something. Whoever controls the high place controls the level of victory in you. You say, well, I don't see what the problem is. Just as long as I settle. No. You got to have victory. You got to get total victory. And whoever has the upper hand controls the level of victory in your life. He controls it. Somewhere along the line, you got to get like David. I'm going to wrap it up here in a second. But you got to get like David, where you look around and you see your men and say, boss, we're not going to rest until we get up there. We just can't sit down here and be satisfied. Well, Pastor, Brother David, they're not bothering us. No, because you're not trying. But if you ever decide to try, it's going to be like hitting a hornet's nest. And so you might as well just knock it out of the way right now. And so David said, Joab, I tell you what, he said, whoever can get there first, I'm going to make them chief and captain. And, oh, Brother Joab, tired of sitting here and listening to them run their lips. I don't care if anybody else goes or not, I'm going. And the Bible said that Joab got down in the gutters He started climbing in the sewer line. He got down where it was stinky. He got down where it was dark. He got down where it was dirty. And he said, I'm going to go beneath. I'm going to go where nobody else will go. I'm going to get there and get the victory no matter what it takes. No matter what it costs me. No matter what I've got to go through. And when you want victory bad enough, when you want victory bad enough, it won't matter how dark it is. It won't matter how stinky it is. It won't matter what you got to do. It won't matter if you got to humble yourself. It won't matter, amen, if they treated you like a low down, dirty dog. Amen. They might have lied on you, stepped on you, cheated you out of something. Amen. But when you want victory bad enough, you'll get down in that gutter and you'll humble themselves and say, would you please forgive me? I need the favor of God in my life. You hear me? It's a lost art in the apostolic church to eat crow and to take the low road. But if we ever want Jebus, we got to learn to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. There's some strongholds that have got to be broken, and the only way they can be broken is we got to get down.
Got to go down where it don't feel too good. Go down where nobody else wants to go. Smith, you don't understand. No, I do understand. I'm tired of us not having victory. I'm going to tell you, amen, Pentecost ought to be bigger than it is. I'm sick and tired. I'm going to just tell you, I'm sick and tired of charismatic Pentecost trying to claim they're authentic and genuine. They ain't nothing but fake. It's time for the genuine apostolic to stand up, amen, and take Jebus back. You got to take it back. You got to climb up and say, you're coming down in Jesus' name. You're coming down. You're coming down, devil. You're not staying there no more. You're not going to have dominion over us anymore. It don't matter if your feelings hurt. I'm going to tell you, it's time we get past all that hurt feeling stuff and say, we got to have victory. My God, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost on me right now. I'm going to wear this point out until I feel the Spirit lift. But somebody, you've got to get a hold of this. You've got to learn the way up is down. Don't let feelings hinder you. Don't let bitterness get in your heart. So you're going to sit there and let up Jebusites. Have your victory and have your land because you're too hard-headed, amen, to humble yourself. You say, well, I'm right. It don't matter who's right. Amen. Jesus was right too, but he still went to Calvary. I don't know why I'm talking like this right now, but I'm going to tell you, for the last 3 weeks, amen, when I was getting ready for this service, the word bitterness kept coming into my heart, kept coming into my mind. I'm preaching to people here tonight. You've got to get that root out of you. You've got to get that feeling out of your heart. It don't matter how it got there. You've got to get it out. Because God has a place of perpetual and continual victory in your life. But you can't live there until you get bitterness out. You gotta get it out.
You gotta cleanse yourself. You gotta bow up. You gotta examine your heart.
I'm going to tell you, the devil try to tell you, you have a service like this and you get a little victory and a little shout, and the devil try to tell you, there, it's all taken care of.
because he don't want you to mess with it. But you want to know what will take care of it? When you humble yourself down and you say, you know what? I'm not just going to take it because I got a little victory and a little shout. That ain't going to do it for me. I'm going to find that brother. I'm going to find that sister. I'm going to find that family member. And I'm going to go and I'm going to humble myself down. And I'm going to make sure, Brother Sutton, there ain't anything in me. I'm going to tell you, I know God. There's a lot of times I've asked God, why in the name of God do you mess with me? Why don't you make other people call me and say, why don't they call me? I didn't. Driving down the road one day, and the Holy Ghost come in the truck. And the Holy Ghost said, you need to call that brother. You need to let him know how much you love him. You need to let him know you're praying for him and you really hope they have revival in their church. Oh, I said, I know that wasn't the Lord. I just got too much caffeine from Starbucks. And I drove a little bit further and that spirit snuggled up beside me again. Brother Sutton said, you need to call that brother. And you know what I did? I didn't wait another moment because I knew if I'd have waited until I got home, Brother Ellis, I'd have talked myself out of it. I grabbed that phone off that truck console. I picked it up and I dialed that number. And when that man answered the phone, I started talking to him. I said, brother, I just was praying. And I said, I was praying for you. And I said, I want you to know I really do love you. And I'm praying for your church, and I really wanted to have revival. It was the turning point in our relationship. Up until that time, every time I'd see him, I was uncomfortable. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to speak. I just... But after that phone call, something happened. Whenever we see each other, we hug each other's neck. We talk to one another. We love one another. There's no hostility. There's no problem. You know what? In my heart, I didn't feel like I'd done anything wrong. But you know what? When the Lord spoke to me, I wanted revival in my church and I wanted God in my life so bad that I wasn't going to let some idiot up in Jebus roll a rock down on me again. I said, nope, I'm climbing up. I'm getting up there. It might be dirty. It might get stinky. It might get dark. Other people might not go there, but I got to get the victory. I'm not satisfied living beneath my means. I'm ready to live above them. I'm not satisfied living down here. I want to live up here. I'm not satisfied with a little bump and shout. I want victory, 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 victory all the time. Stand with me. Who controls the high place? Controls the level of victory you have. Don't do anything about it. And you'll stay defeated. Just. Never have revival in your life. It ain't worth it for me. I got to have it more than anything in this life. Brother Sutton, I've gave my life for this. And I'm not about to allow something to get in here that hinders me from getting to Jebus. I'm not about to allow them to have the upper hand. I'm going to tear Jebus down and I'm going to name it the city of Bradley. It's going to be mine. It's going to be mine. This is where I'm going to live. This is where I'm going to dwell.
Somebody, you need to get the key to your problem tonight and say, I'm going up to Jebus. I'm taking back the city. It's mine. It's mine. You got to stick that key in and say, I'm going up. I'm going up. I'm not staying down here. I'm going to climb up. If I got to crawl, I'll crawl up. But whatever I got to do.
Whatever I've got to do, I've got to have it. I'm tired of rocks being thrown down on me every time I get a little victory. I'm tired of every time my church gets a little breakthrough, that old rock comes tumbling down the hill. I'm tired of that, brother. I'm tired of sitting down there thinking we've just taken good progress only to have a Jebusite roll something down on me and knock me back. I'm tired of that, and I'm going to do something about it. I wonder, is there anybody in this place tonight? You feel like I feel. And on this opening night of Alabama Revival Conference, you'd say, Brother Smith, I'm going to take Jebus. I'm going to take Jerusalem. That's going to be my headquarters. I'm going to change the name of some things. They've tormented me. They've had dominion over me. But now tonight, on this opening conference night, I'm going to get what I need to have continual victory. That's how you feel. I want you to come to the front of this altar tonight. Amen. I want you to make up your mind. I'm not leaving until I get victory. I'm not leaving till I climb to the top. I'm not leaving till I evict the enemy out of my life. No matter what it is. No matter what you're facing. No matter what spirit. Standing over you. Laughing and mocking and saying, you can't have it. We could put blind folks up here. We put crippled people up here. You can't have it. Come on. You need to bow up against the enemy tonight. You got to get down and dirty. You got to get up in the muck and the mire and say, it's mine. And I'm going to have it come hell or high water. I'm not staying this place. I'm not living underneath my means. I'm going up. I'm climbing to the high place. I'm taking back the city. I'm taking back Jebus. Come on, Jebus. You're coming down. Get out. This is the city of David.
We will take this city.
This is my city.
We are ready to climb up.
Climb up.
sinner.